Welcome to episode 457 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Jesus himself declared that he had a specific mission for the Apostle Paul. Acts 9 verse 15, "This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel." Paul, who previously was Saul of Tarsus, a Pharisee and a persecutor of Christians, had been set apart and called by God's grace so that he might preach Christ among the Gentiles. And this was a calling that this former Pharisee took seriously. With help from Barnabas and a local network of co-workers, many of them women, he evangelized Asia Minor and southern Greece and eventually reached Rome. The new religion benefited from the stability the Roman Empire provided. It benefited from the infrastructure of roads and the accessibility of land and seagoing vessels that made travel easy, and the language its elite shared, common or Koine Greek. Alexandrian Jews had translated the Hebrew Bible into Koine Greek for dispersed Greek-speaking Jews. The New Testament writers also wrote in Koine Greek. In that largely literate empire, early Christians used and widely distributed the Hebrew scriptures. Several factors brought growth to the faith. From the beginning, lay people, both men and women, conducted the largest part of the mission. Congregations grew in homes used as churches. Most evangelizing occurred in the daily routine as men and women shared their faith with others. Christianity's monotheism, morality, assurance of eternal life with God, and ancient scriptures attracted many to the faith.
Today's top 10 list.
10 missionaries who ministered to Gentiles in the early Christian church.
Number 1.
Barnabas. A Jewish Levite named Joseph, he became known as Barnabas to the apostles, which means son of encouragement. Originally from the island of Cyprus, he became a member and generous benefactor of the Jerusalem community. He was the one who introduced Saul, who was to become Paul, to the apostles, and later brought him from Tarsus to Antioch. They ministered together during Paul's first missionary journey. At some point, they had a disagreement and separated. Barnabas continued preaching in Cyprus.
Number 2.
Mark. John Mark, often just called Mark, is first mentioned as the son of a woman named Mary, whose house was being used as a place for believers to gather and pray. Later, he's mentioned as a companion of Barnabas and Paul during their travels together. He was also Barnabas' cousin. He was a helper on Paul and Barnabas' first missionary journey. However, he did not stay through the whole trip, and his desertion caused a rift between Paul and Barnabas. Later, he does prove himself as a worthy supporter of the ministries of both Paul and Peter.
Number 3.
Silas. Also called Silvanus in some parts of the New Testament, he was a Christian leader and prophet from Jerusalem who accompanied Paul and Timothy at the beginning of their missionary activity in Macedonia and Achaia. At some point, it appears that he parted company with Paul and eventually started working with Peter in Rome, serving as his secretary.
Number 4.
Timothy. Arguably Paul's closest assistant, Timothy co-authored and or delivered 6 of Paul's letters, and is the recipient, or at least the addressee, of 2 others. Originally from Lystra, in Lycaonia, the son of a Greek father and Jewish mother, Timothy joined Paul in about AD 49 or 50. They worked together throughout the rest of the older man's life. He was present with Paul and Silas when they established Christian communities in places like Philippi, Thessalonica, and Corinth, and he was often sent as Paul's emissary to revisit Christians in various provinces. According to one of the pastoral letters, Paul directed Timothy to stay in Ephesus to guide and teach the church there.
Number 5.
Titus. A Gentile convert to Christianity, he accompanied Barnabas and Paul to the Jerusalem Council. Although he was an uncircumcised Greek, he was not compelled to be circumcised. Paul told the Corinthians that Titus was my brother and my partner and co-worker for you. Paul left him on the island of Crete to organize and appoint leaders for the churches there.
Number 6.
Priscilla and Aquila. A married couple, Jewish Christians, and natives of Pontus, an ancient district in northeastern Anatolia adjoining the Black Sea. They were expelled from Rome around 49 AD due to the Edict of Claudius, which called for the expulsion of Jews. They became particularly close with Paul as they worked with him in his early mission in Corinth, then leaders of the church in Ephesus, and later evidently back in Rome, where they were leaders of a house church.
Number 7.
Phoebe, a first century Christian woman mentioned by Paul in his epistle to the Romans. She was a notable woman in the church of Cenchreae. She was trusted by Paul to deliver his letter to the Romans. Paul refers to her both as a servant or deacon and as a helper or patron of many. This is the only place in the New Testament where a woman is specifically referred to with these two distinctions. Paul introduces Phoebe as his emissary to the church in Rome, and because they are not acquainted with her, Paul provides them with her credentials.
Number 8.
Tertius. In Romans 16 verse 22, Tertius, who wrote this letter, greets the readers. Paul is the author of the letter, but Tertius is the scribe or amanuensis who did the actual writing. The name means third in Latin and was a common name for slaves. This fact alone does not tell us anything about his social status, since some slaves were trained as scribes. Since Tertius greets the readers of Romans, it is possible he was known to Christians in Rome. It is also possible that he was one of the Jews expelled from Rome who found their way to Corinth.
Number 9.
Gaius. A Christian from Macedonia who became a traveling companion of Paul, he was with the apostle in Ephesus. He hosted Paul and the church in Corinth, and he was one of the few people that Paul personally baptized.
Number 10.
Mnason. A Christian of Jerusalem with whom Paul lodged, he was apparently a native of Cyprus like Barnabas, and was well known to the Christians of Caesarea. He was an old disciple, some variations say early disciple, which likely means he had become a Christian in the beginning of the formation of the church in Jerusalem. 10 sets of missionaries, 10 who worked with the Apostle Paul in fulfilling the call to take the gospel to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In Acts, the gospel expands not through human strength, but through weakness, opposition, and persecution. Demonic forces, worldly powers and authorities, governmental opposition, language and cultural barriers, intense suffering and bloody persecution, unjust imprisonment, unbelief, internal disunity, and even shipwrecks and snakes all threaten to slow down the gospel's advance. But opposition and suffering do not thwart the spread of Jesus' grace. Rather, they only fuel it. When writing to the mostly Gentile church in Rome, Paul communicated his goal. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. Paul realized that the coming of Jesus provided the opportunity for salvation to whoever would believe in Christ's name. And if the Jews were not responsive, the life-saving message of Christ crucified would be given to others. Father, thank you for using committed men and women to share the good news of the gospel with those with open hearts and minds. Fill us with the Spirit, enabling us to be similarly committed. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.